I'm going to forgo the first reading, the Old Testament reading, until just before the sermon. And so we'll start with the second reading, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through chapter 5, verse 2. This I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardness of their hearts. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, and not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the gospel of the Lord. As I mentioned, I wanted to wait to read the Old Testament reading. It's from 1 Kings chapter 19. It's really one of my favorite sections of scriptures. It's the account of Elijah the prophet, who, after being under threat of being killed from evil King Ahab and Jezebel of Israel, fled for his life and came to the mountain of God. I'm going to read a little bit more, though, than the assigned text, which ends at verse 8, and read the entire account of Elijah's visit with God. From 1 Kings 19, verse 1. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he arose, and ran for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he rose and ate and drank, and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains, and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place." This is the word of the Lord. And then there was a whisper. Elijah was a very frustrated man at this point in life. So frustrated that he didn't want to live anymore. And we're kind of living in a time where there is an awful lot of frustrations. Just when we think things are going to get a little bit more normal, they don't. And we seem to be going backwards rather than forwards. And there's times we can not only be frustrated with the world, but sort of frustrated with God ourselves. That's what Elijah was. He was looking for God to back him up in the world, at least. He was looking for a God who would exact his vengeance upon a disobedient world. When he met with God on that mountain, what typically are biblical signs of God's judgment occurred. There was a horrific wind. We kind of know that, how that feels like. You know, we experienced that last year in the derecho. At points, at least here in Cedar Rapids, Cat 4 hurricane winds. So we know a little bit about Elijah was experiencing. Perhaps he was thinking, aha, the end is going to come. But the Lord was not in a wind. And then there was an earthquake. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced an earthquake before. When Chris and I were living in Idaho, we experienced a 6.2 earthquake. It was 200 miles away. But all of a sudden, our doorbell, which was some movable chimes, started ringing quite loudly. As we got up out of bed to see what's going on, we could see the bell chimes swinging back and forth. We looked out the window. We actually saw the ground rippling. It was a horrifying experience, to say the least. And my wife went and grabbed our son Daniel, who wasn't even a year old at that time, and held him and stood in the doorway. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And there was a huge fire. Fire's going on in our world today, too. Up north of us, we're experiencing the haze from the smoke of the fires. You see pictures of that on TV, and it is horrifying. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. Elijah was ready to give up on the world. But God wasn't. What are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah repeats the complaints that he has before God. Life was tough. It wasn't fair. He shouldn't have to put up with all the things that he's putting up with. But God's word to him was simply this: go back. There's 7,000 knees in Israel that haven't yet bowed down. They need you. And I have work for you to do. I don't know if you remember how the life of Elijah ends. Not long after this biblical account, after he has appointed Elisha to be prophet in his place, he goes on a walk across the Jordan, and a fiery chariot comes down from heaven, and in a moment of unbelievable glory, he's bodily taken up into heaven. God had great plans for Elijah, but the time for his glory was not yet. God had work for him to do. And God has work for us to do each day that we live in this world. How we go about it may change with every single day, and that can be a little bit frustrating at times. But we can't just go and hide in a cave someplace and keep ourselves away from all people. God has appointed us to be the bearers of hope in a world that often does not know any hope, in a world that feels locked down and trapped. And far too many people think that this life is the only life we're going to have. But you and I know differently. There is an eternal glory waiting for us. And more than that, there's the promise of God that he is going to be here with us in this life, guiding and directing and helping us, not to help ourselves, but to be servants of one another. Even when we're exhausted, even when we're frustrated, to go back to find those 7,000 knees that were left in Israel. Who needed help, who needed guidance, who needed hope, who needed Elijah to be with them. And you and I are those people, are that prophetic voice to the world today. We just can't shut ourselves up and lock ourselves out from the rest of the world. It may be masked. It may be 6 feet apart. But we need to be in the world. And not just to be present, but to bring the presence of God with us. To talk about his word, to talk about his promises, to talk about his grace, to talk about his hope which we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. And to do so without fear. Oh, we don't know what's going to happen to us ultimately in this world. Maybe we'll get sick with COVID and end up in the hospital, maybe we'll die of something else. But we need to face the world without fear and without anxiety, because we know the glory that awaits us. And we need to bring that attitude to others who are living scared, who are living fearful. They need to have that same hope which we have within us. The time for God to call us on all home is not here yet. One day the world is going to be destroyed by winds and earthquakes and fires. But as God would speak to us today, it's not going to be through those things. It's going to be through that low whisper, telling us to go back, to serve one another with his saving word. The still small voice of God. Amen.